Start by saying something that I heard last week in the name of Rav Moshe Aaron Stern Zatzal. I actually had the schus of meeting him. There's an outstanding book. It's called The Mashkiach of Kamenetz in English. It's an outstanding Musa Sefer in English, beyond comprehension. If you ever have the opportunity to get your hands on that Sefer, you should grab it and read it. It's a fat, green Sefer. The Mashkiach of Kamenetz. It's about Hashkofa and Musar, about his life, but it's not like a biography, it's a lot of things that he said over in his life. It's powerful. So I heard last week in his name that he said, during Aseres Me'etshuva, as the Pasuk tells us, Dirshu Hashem Yimatsu B'yoso Karov, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is closest to us during these 10 days. He said over, Moshe Arnstein said over, that while we're in the Aseres Me'etshuva, our individual power of tefillah is compared to the tefillah of the masses, of tefillah b'tzibur. And we know that tefillah b'tzibur will not be yoshuv reikam, won't go unanswered. So can you imagine that during the 10 days of repentance, during these 10 days, the koach of our tefillah increases exponentially. So even if perhaps in Rosh Hashanah we felt that, we were supposed to daven for Hashem's coronation, we're supposed to daven for personal bakashos, kulei amal opligi, nobody argues that during these days, during the 10 days of repentance, during Aseres Me'etshuva, the closest time of the year to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our tefillahs have great, great power. So it behooves all of us to try to tap into that power of the tefillah. And oftentimes when we get into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, of course we're following along, maybe we perhaps don't tap into our personal tefillahs, but perhaps something to keep in mind, that during these days, our tefillahs have so much more power, we should certainly take advantage of that tremendous opportunity. That's number one. Number two, in this week's parasha, we have the last mitzvah in the Torah, of Ksivah Sefer Torah. And the Chofetz Chaim tells us, Vizosia mitzvah archonah shebetorah, it's the last mitzvah of the Torah. Now, what is the last mitzvah of the Torah come on the heels of what pasuk? And he says, it comes on the pasuk, Anochi aster panai b'yomahu, kol ra asher asa. So, what's the connection between the last mitzvah of the Torah to write a Sefer Torah, and the fact that it's coming after the idea of hiddenness and difficulties facing the Jewish people? So the Chofetz Chaim says, it's to tell us that how does a person protect himself? The Torah is magni umatzli. The Torah protects and saves. As the Gemara in Sota tells us, based on the pasuk, kiner mitzvah of the Torah or, right? The candle is the mitzvah, but the Torah is the actual light. That's what provides the light. And the Gemara in Sota says, just like the or, the light, protects the world, so too the Torah protects the world. I think I've looked this up before. What does it mean, light protects the world? I'm not sure. I think one of two things. Either light protects the world because we can see, we won't hurt ourselves. That's one explanation, I think. And the other explanation is by light, it also protects, I guess, the crops and certain things, I guess, photosynthesis and certain kochos that the sun has, it protects us. But what do we see from here? The Torah protects. Torah is magni umatzli. It also sounds very much like the Gemara in Sanhedrin that tells us, what should a person do to be saved from Chevel Mashiach? It says he should be osek b'Torah and gemilus chasadim. In Torah and gemilus chasadim. And the Chofetz Chaim continues by saying that he's in war times of Europe when he's saying this. And he said if a person wants to be saved from difficult times, what should he do? He should learn Torah. Be osek in Torah. The Torah is magni umatzli. So what better message to give over during Aseres Me'etshuva? We know we have to look at ourselves as if we're Beinonim, right? And that we still, our judgment is hanging in the balance. And now's the time to crank it up. Now's the time to put the pedal to the metal. So there's one thing. Of course, we have to do overall tshuva, introspection. What can we work on? But like I've said many times in this year, in terms of chazaring b'kiyus, if a person wants to know for sure that he's doing the best thing he can be doing, he should just spend extra time sitting and learning. If you're spending extra time sitting and learning, so then you know you're protecting yourself as best as you can. Right? During these times, we don't want to waste time. We don't want to squander time. I'm not saying that the rest of the year we should squander and waste time, but certainly not in these 10 days. We should be hyper-focused on our goal at hand. And certainly, this is a message, the last mitzvah of the Torah, Ksivah Sefer Torah, which is certainly alluding to the idea of Limud HaTorah. Of course, you don't write the Sefer Torah just to leave it there. Of course, it becomes part of you when you learn it, is a remez to us. What should we be doing during these times to make sure we're protected from the din? And that is certainly to work harder in our Limud HaTorah. Just to give a plug for Chazara that we've discussed, as the Gemara in Erevin tells us, Emasai Divrei Torah Ni'imim, we see Baruch Hashem, B'nai Torah, that just stepped into our base medrash, who are attached to the Torah, love Torah. Where did it come from? Where does the love for Torah come from? It comes from chazara. Right? As the Torah, Gemara in Ervin, I think it's Nun Beis, tells us, Emas Adirei Torah. Even when is Torah sweet? It's because why? It's because it's Shigur Mevinucha. It's faster than the belly. The only time it's going to be sweet. So if somebody says, I don't enjoy learning, the first thing, I'll tell you actually, the second thing you should ask himself, is he chazaring? Does he know what he's learning? Right? You go to a shir, and you leave, and you never review. It's never going to be enjoyable. Right? Nobody, it's a fact of life. Nobody enjoys something they're not good at. Right? Person who's not a good ball player, he doesn't like to play ball. Right? Person who can't ride a bike doesn't go on a bike. The same thing over here. Now, I'm not saying a person has to know the whole shas, but it means, and that's what I was also trying to impress, and maybe this will be another plug to this Nakuda. Some of us are finishing Perek Azorik. Right? We're about to finish Perek Azorik. You know what? You're right. There are eight other prakim in the Masechta. Very nice. Beautiful. But can you imagine if you can come after the Bein HaZmanim and you could have mastered Perek Azorik, every line of the Gemara, every Rashi? You'll be kona that. You'll enjoy it. It doesn't matter that there are, you know, umpteen numbers of prakim in the rest of the shas. If you know Hazori cold, you'll get a geshmak from that. You'll enjoy that. And you know, which reminds me, I was thinking about saving this for. I don't think I said this yet in this forum. I was thinking about saving this for Yom Kippur, but just an idea. We know that one of the nekudos of the Yom Neroim is to be mekabel on themselves kabbalah. So I started to share. I mentioned it to somebody last Shabbos, but I'll say it again. I'm starting to share some of the Kabbalahs that have worked for me. Of course, you know, I've been, you know, trying to make Kabbalahs quite often during the Yom Neroim time. Most of them have failed, but there are actually three that have been, B'li Anar, you know, more successful for me. And I'll tell you one of them today, and if you want, I guess maybe I'll save two others for Erev Yom Kippur. The one that I thought of a number of years ago, the Gemara tells us, that one of the reasons for the Churban Abayis was Shalom Berachu B'Torah Tchila, that people didn't say Berachas Torah beforehand. And the Mephoreshim explained a lot of it has to do, of course this is Berachas Torah, but perhaps they're missing the Chashivas of Torah. But either way, the words of the Gemara are Shalom Berachu B'Torah Tchila. How many of us find ourselves running late to Shul and saying Berachas Torah on the run, on the fly? What a terrible thing. On top of that, we don't see by any other mitzvah that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it sweet in Geshmak. We're about to shake lulav, make our shaking of lulav be enjoyable. There's no such thing. Only by limud HaTorah do we say, Hashem, please make it sweet. And that's the first thing a person should ask himself. If a person's not enjoying learning, well, hold on a second. You asked Hashem to make it sweet in the morning, but did you think about asking Hashem to make it sweet in the morning? Did you say, V'avarabu with kavanah v'harer enenu b'sarah secha, enlighten our eyes with your Torah? So perhaps it's the first thing a person should ask himself. If he's not getting a gishmak and enjoying his learning, he should say, did I say Birchas Torah b'kavanah in the morning? So I was mekabel gluni neder a number of years ago. Then no matter what, perhaps I can say other brachos on the fly, perhaps. I'm not saying if I do or not or don't. When it comes to Birchas Torah, I always say it from the sitter. Does that mean I have great kavanah every single time? Not necessarily. But at least it's a starting point. At least I was mekabel gluni neder. I say Birchas Torah from a sitter. And that's an example of a very small kavanah that can have a tremendous hashpa on your lives. That's number two in you. The number three, the third nekuda over here, something I saw in Alein L'Shabach, which I quoted last week from Alein L'Shabach, a great story, and I found another great story. It's about Shabbat Shuvah. And the story goes, again, everybody should take this story with a grain of salt, but it says here that there was a young man in the Ponovitch Yeshiva. It says he was famous. Okay, he was famous. A lot of the details about what transpired are not clear. I myself don't know what transpired, but he was learning in Ponovitch Yeshiva, and one day he decided to leave the yeshiva, and he ended up in the army. He was in the army, and he was all alone. He didn't have contact with his old chaverim. He lost. Apparently, it says he has lost contact with his parents. He simply was alone. He had no connection to anybody. And certainly bothered him, socially, emotionally. It bothered him. He wasn't connected to people. He felt very, very lonely. All of a sudden, one day, he gets a notice that there's a letter for him. And he thinks to himself, a letter? Who in the world would send him a letter? So, he goes to the office of the army base, and he gets the letter, and it says, sender Shmuel. Shmuel? I don't have any friends named Shmuel. And then he reads the first line, my dear beloved friend. And now he's really bewildered. Who is calling his dear beloved friend? And the sender says, Shmuel. And he says, wherever you are, no matter where you have ended up, I would like to meet with you and talk to you. Signed, Shmuel Rozovsky. the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich. Now, he was in like a secure army base. He wasn't allowed to leave. Stop. So he escaped. He fled and he spent the night schmoozing with his Rosh Yeshiva. The end of the story, of course, is that somehow he left the army and went back to Yeshiva, right? And that's the story, a true story. That's the story. Says of Chizkiyahu Mishkovsky Shlita, the Mashgiach of Rav Steinman's Yeshivas. He says, in the month of Elul, I'll read some of it inside. Each of us receives a letter similar to the one this Bachar received from Hashem himself. Hashem sends us a message begging us to return to him. No matter where we find ourselves, no matter how low we have fallen, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us during these days? He says, I want you to come back to me. That's all he's saying. We all get that letter. This Shmuel, who was alone in the army base, got a letter from his Rosh Yeshiva signed Shmuel. And we, every single one of us, gets a letter signed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. Unbelievable. And says of Chizkiyahu Mishkovsky, and if you ever heard him, he's on fire. He's mamish fire brimstone. He's gvaldik. He's tremendous. Okay, he actually is one person, if I'm not mistaken, he's led to Tehillim, where he spoke a little bit, I think, at Rav Steinman's Zelaya. He was very, very close to Rav Steinman. We think that Elul, these days, Yom Neran, we call it days of awe. But you know what? They're also Yimei Rachamim Maslichos, days of mercy and forgiveness. The time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tremendous compassion for us. And we said before, Dir Shua Hashem Biyoso Karov. Right? Dir Shua Hashem Biyoso Karov. When he's closest. These are not simply days of awe. Yes, we're getting judged. But these are days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hand-delivering a letter to us and saying, come home. And certainly, as we saw in the other story that we said over last week as well. And listen to the quote Rav Olvi is saying. Rav Olvi Zatzal. Listen to what Rav Olvi says. It's something we're going to say tonight. Listen to these words. Unbelievable. I'm sure, I certainly never thought of this. And words we say every single Friday night. And listen to this. What would you think would be the happiest day to the Jewish people? When Mashiach comes, that's what we think. When Mashiach comes, it'll be the happiest day. What do we say tonight in Kabbalah Shabbos? Yismuchu HaShemayim. The Shemayim should be happy. V'sogel Oretz. The land should rejoice. Yiram Hayam Umlo. The sea in its fullness will roar. Sounds Yalos, which is also of Simcha. Right? Yalos, Sadai, V'chol HaShebo, all the fields. Everybody will exult. Everybody will be excited. Why? What's going on? What's the next Pasuk in Kabbalah Shabbos? Lefnei Hashem Kiva. Kiva what? Lishmot Oretz. What do we see from here? That times of judgment by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, times of great Simcha. It's not saying, oh, when the Geula comes, when the Yeshua comes. No. When is everybody rejoicing? When the Mishpat is there. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpat is not a Mishpat to try to nail us. It's a Mishpat to try to be mated to us. To give us good things. We have to remember, these are the days of Rachum and Slichos. As we said before, these are the days when our tefillos are exponentially more powerful. And, of course, we have to go ahead, we have to mechazik ourselves in Limud HaTorah, because Limud HaTorah is connected to Kulam, there's no question about it. Right? You get the most scha, the most value, the most bang for our buck. We're going ahead, and we're involved in Limud HaTorah. And this last point, based upon the great Rosh Hashir of Shmuel Zdovsky, and the message of Rav Olbi, this is time to Mishpat. It's certainly time to be, there is Pachad Adin, there's certainly a mile in Pachad Adin, but also the feeling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu open, he's waiting for us with open arms. And whatever we can do, and of course it's Rachmanu Libabayi, it's try to, work on small things, a little Kabbalah here, a little Kabbalah there. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see from us, that we're trying. And Yetz Hashem, if we continue to try, we'll be able to mechazik ourselves. We'll all be zochet to a great Shabbos, a great din for us, for our families, our communities, and all of Klai Yisrael. Gemar chasima tova. Have a good Shabbos.